Support for this podcast comes from the BGE Smart Energy Savers Program. Hidden air leaks can affect your home's comfort and energy costs. A home energy audit identifies problem areas and reveals opportunities to improve comfort and savings. Plus, you can get an average of $3,000 in rebates to make energy-saving home improvements. Learn more about how to make your home work better for you at bgesmartenergy.com/improvements. That's bgesmartenergy.com/improvements.
This episode of the Black Girl Boss podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks is a super simple invoicing solution that lets you create and send slick, professional-looking invoices in seconds. I personally use FreshBooks in my business to send invoices to my clients, to send recurring invoices to monthly clients. I use it to track my expenses. I actually switched over from using QuickBooks to using FreshBooks. And to be honest, not just because they're a sponsor, but I truly love FreshBooks because it's just super duper easy. It's very user friendly. So I can log on to my FreshBooks dashboard and see exactly what my business, how my business is doing. I can see when my invoices are going to be sent out. I can see what invoices are past due, who I need to follow up with, all of that good stuff. So I love FreshBooks. It allows me, I can take a picture of my receipt, upload it right into FreshBooks, and it'll track all of my expenses for me. And to be honest, my favorite part about FreshBooks though is that if I need to have a question or if I need help with anything, I can just call and talk to a real person. I know a lot of these invoicing softwares, you got to call and deal with these automated systems. So FreshBooks, somebody picks up super quick and I get to talk to a live person and get help on what I'm looking for. So I definitely suggest that for all of you guys that are trying to get better with your expenses, find a new invoicing solution, or just find a better way to run your business on the back end. Definitely check out FreshBooks for free for 30 days by just going on www.gofreshbooks.com/blackgirlboss and enter Black Girl Boss Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So one more time, go to www.gofreshbooks.com/blackgirlboss. Let's start the show.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way.
On today's episode, I sat down with my good friend Sadiq Ali, and we discussed writing a book. As you guys know, I finished writing the manuscript for my book at the end of 2017, and my book will actually be coming out later on this year. Sadiq was a really, really big part of me finishing my book. His signature system and his workshop that he's going to discuss in his show provided me with all of the tools that I needed to finally get my book done and cross it off my goals list where it had been for at least 3 years prior to that. So I'm excited to sit down and talk to him about the book writing process, how books have helped his business, and more importantly, how you guys can apply the things that he's learned to increase the revenue in your business, to establish yourselves as authorities, and so much more. So let's get right into the interview. Hey, Sadiq, welcome to the show.
Hi, excited to be here.
Yeah, so I mean, I know you told the people on live, we're going live right now, you guys, but tell everybody that's listening to the actual podcast, like who you are and what you do.
No doubt. So peace and blessings to all of our, from what Tatum tells me, awesome listeners.
Yes, amazing, actually, a step above awesome.
So that's the level now? It's awesome, then amazing?
They're iconic, okay? They're a couple steps above awesome.
I got to write that down. See, I'm always taking notes, too. I, too, am a listener of this podcast. But again, peace and blessings. My name is Sadiq Ali. I'm the founder of an organization, training and development organization called Millionaire Manners Academy, which is training and leadership development, especially for young people, parents and families, as well as professional development for youth workers, educators, and some of that good stuff. I also serve as a coach right at the intersection of business, career, and life, which are really the buckets that we all sort of find ourselves in. I'm also an author trainer as well. So I've coached many people in writing their first books, and a lot of good stuff in the middle. Proud husband, father, some other stuff.
That's
mixed in
the
there.
Middle.
That should have been like.
No, that's amazing stuff. So that's actually at the top. It was just out of sequence. So.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm getting you in trouble because.
Out of sequence.
I said Shannon's out of sequence. On the live right now. I'm getting you in trouble.
It was out of sequence. blame it on my head, not my heart.
So before we started recording, you talked about how you wrote your first book, Millionaire Manners, and that was kind of like the catalyst to everything that you're doing now.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of start from there, because a lot of people, they have the aspirations to be where you are in 2018,
sure.
But they don't know Sadiq in 2014, who just wrote this book and had these goals to do everything you're doing now. So kind of take us through from the beginning.
Sure. That's a really, really big question. Let me start from even, I guess, a little bit before that. So my background before being an entrepreneur and becoming an entrepreneur was in retail management. So I was a store manager for this little tiny company you guys might have heard of called Target. So Target was actually an awesome place to work. And, I learned a lot about leadership and I learned a lot about myself as a person working for Target. But it was really through my role at Target where I realized that I wanted to do something more. I wanted to have a larger impact. So through my work as a store manager, I actually opened the first store in Baltimore City, which, awesome. You know, if anybody knows about West Baltimore, it's like not a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of challenges, socioeconomic, poverty, just a ton of different things. And here I was as a store manager at the store, like literally in the middle of the hood. So what I learned quickly is that I needed to wear multiple hats in order to be successful and have some of that impact. So I was store manager. I was big brother. I was uncle. Mm-hmm. But I was also mentor, coach, counselor, and lots of stuff in between. So it was during my time there at Target, though, where I realized, like, man, there's so many young people who come in here either looking for their first job or, you know, they come in just wanting to do something productive. And I'd be happy to give them their first shot as long as they showed me something sort of in that process. But I just thought to myself, it's like, man, for all the different young people that might not be fortunate enough to run into a Tatum or a Sadiq or, you know, some of my mentees who were also assistant managers there at the store at the time, what's their options? Mm-hmm. So I said to myself in that moment, like, man, I got to do something about it. And that's where the idea for me to write my first book actually popped into my head. So mm-hmm. I know we're allowed to get a little spiritual here on this show. So I 1000% believe that idea was divinely inspired. And mm-hmm. I can tell you that, you know, me sitting where I was in 2013, writing that book, you know, 5 years later, it changed my life. Mm-hmm. Me writing that first book has absolutely changed my life. Mm-hmm.
So what happened after you wrote the book? So we're going to talk about like the whole process of getting the book done.
Sure.
Because I mean, that's the part where so many people stop at.
Yeah.
But what happened from there? You had this book, the pages were done.
Yeah.
Then what? How did you take that and turn it into all the amazing things you're doing now?
Great question. So in the context of writing a book and really understanding, which is, you know, what I'm getting ready to say is what a lot of folks don't understand. Unless you're John Grisham or Dan Brown or, you know, name another awesome author, insert mm-hmm. awesome author here. Unless you're one of those folks and are a Stephen King or a truly prolific writer, mm-hmm. your book is not your business. Mm-hmm. Your book is not your business. Your book is a gateway to your business. Your book is.
That's a tweetable right there.
Right? Thank you. Yay, feel free. But a lot of folks think that their book is their business and that they're magically going to just make a whole bunch of money as a result of their book. Mm-hmm. That can happen through awesome marketing, but your book is a gateway to what else you sell, what else mm-hmm. you do. Mm-hmm. And in the author world, right, of which Tatum will be joining us very soon in those ranks. let me not, you know, speak prematurely, but I'm excited for 2018 for you, Tatum. Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks don't understand that writing a book is the best business card that you can ever have. Mm-hmm. It's a business card that folks never throw away. because unless you're just a complete savage, no one ever throws away books.
Throwing away books, yeah.
And then when they think of that book, you immediately are known and thought of as an expert, as an authority, mm-hmm. someone who has some value and something to give.
So then.
So the other part of it, I'm sorry. So.
Gotta rule you in.
No, yeah, you do. But I just realized I left out the rest of your question too, which is when I wrote my book, I realized that I wanted to create an entire business around my book.
Got you. So you knew that beforehand.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So it was strategic.
It was.
So I think that's important for everybody listening, the strategic part, because I think I meet a lot of people who have this idea and then they're like, okay, I have this idea, let's say, to do this women empowerment brand. So I'm going to throw some quotes on some t-shirts and I'm going to sell them. Mm-hmm. And then they're upset that the sales just don't happen by throwing it out there. But it's important to kind of take a step back to think like, okay, this is what I want to do in the long term. How can I best position myself to be successful in what it is that I'm trying to do? So I think it's good that you pointed that out, that it was intentional for you to write the book first. So I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say like Steve, I'm a big proponent and like follower of Stephen Covey's mm-hmm. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's like a book that everybody's heard of, but as usual, as with most things, like not everybody has read it.
Right.
So I recommend that everybody listening to this, like go and grab that book. You can get it for a penny off Amazon. Mm-hmm. But Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the habits is begin with the end in mind. So I try to do that with a lot of the things that I do. And my book was one of those examples where I'm like, I just don't want to be known as just an author. Cause there's mm-hmm. some folks that's like, oh, what do you do? Well, I'm an author. Well, that's kind of like not a business.
Yeah.
it can be uh-huh. if you're one of the exceptional few that is just like an awesome writer and you really like derive great passion from mm-hmm. writing and, you know, writing books and stories and stuff like that. But, you know, if not, then yeah, your book is just a gateway.
Okay. So after you wrote that book, you knew that you set the intention that this is what I'm going to do to set me up for this. What was the step after that?
Sure. So I think, you know, there's some, I love recommending like resources that have helped me. But I think one of the biggest things that folks also don't do as part of like the pre-work process for either creating their brand or writing a book is to go about some of that work of building a brand beforehand or building a mm-hmm. tribe beforehand. So then that way, when your book drops, it doesn't just drop to the sound of silence. Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of folks do that. They just think that the world is just going to, you know, just magically appear in front of them as a result of this book when, you know, millions of gigabytes worth of content is being mm-hmm. created, like mm-hmm. and uploaded to the internet every day. They say what, like a million hours of or something crazy of new videos uploaded to YouTube every month. So in order for you to compete and cut through that noise, you have to. You used the word offline before we started recording. That's find your niche or niche is the bougie way of pronouncing it. So Tatum, just so y'all know, she said niche. You know, I ain't from where Tatum from, so we say niche. So find your niche or your niche, whichever you prefer, but start building, you know, relevance and authority in that space, mm-hmm. Which again is just part of a strategy where you give value first. You give value and then folks are going to look to you to provide an answer or to mm-hmm. provide, you know, just a solution to whatever it is they might be going through.
Mm-hmm. And I always say like launching is overrated. And so people mm-hmm. are always like, well, what does that mean? And it's for that same reason. I feel like launching just means you're preparing to throw something out there for people to buy. Instead, if you groom your audience, instead talk about like bring to the forefront whatever problem you're solving, make them understand what that pain feels like, tell them what the consequences are if they don't purchase your solution, and then introduce it to them. Let them know you like you, trust you first, and then introduce that to them. So it's kind of the same concept even before you write your book, to kind of just build up that tribe around whatever subject the book is going to be about.
That's exactly right. And ironically enough, I think what you just described, some folks would argue, is the launch process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Launch isn't clicking the button and mm-hmm. saying, oh, you know, publish, mm-hmm. publish thing, publish mm-hmm. product. Mm-hmm. So I think what you just described was the actual showing up launch process, not all the other stuff that people say, oh, I'm getting ready to launch, or just the countdown timer on an Instagram page.
Right, exactly.
Like, which is,
exactly. So your book, I don't even think we said the name of the book.
Oh, yes. So my first book is also called Millionaire Manners. Right. And, you know, my training business is Millionaire Manners Academy. So and it was all based on, you know, originally we've kind of evolved a little bit since then. But it was all sort of like a relationship based, etiquette based, mm-hmm. you know, mentoring, training and coaching, et cetera.
Everything that you teach is based off the principles that you discuss in the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So after you finished that book and you came up with your system for Millionaire Manners, who did you take that to first to turn this thing into a business?
Great question. Thank you, Taylor.
I try.
So, you know, really after launching that, you know, launching the book and doing research from where I wanted to be. And I think this is like a key point we're getting ready to make. And that is you can only go in but so many different directions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old saying, right, is like you chase rabbits and they're going in different directions. Both of them get away if you try to chase both of them. Mm-hmm. So that's back to, again, just focusing on a niche or that segment first. So for me, the first area that I really found myself working in was in like juvenile detention centers.
Okay.
Working with youth that, you know, had various charges, et cetera. And, you know, those folks that were running different programs were looking for resources to help engage these young men and teach them some life skills before they were released back into society, back into their families or their communities, et cetera. So that was like a really good niche for me originally. Mm-hmm. And from there, you know, since then we worked in high schools, middle schools, all different types of schools. And then, you know, from there was working more in mentoring organizations and mentoring programs. So it's really like one thing sort of, you know, leads to the next one. But, mm-hmm. you know, building a solid standing or reputation in some of those areas, it really helps for the next one. Because, again, I know we're going to get there at some point when we're talking about authority and mm-hmm. just how mm-hmm. building authority and building relevance is like a really, really big deal.
So when you came up with these seven principles, though, I think that's important too, that you created like your own system.
Sure.
And I said system, but I should have stopped a little and elaborated, but you created a system that was specific to you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so then that made you be able to bring something to these people that was more than just a book or autobiography of exactly. your life at that point. It was a system to accomplish the problem that you were solving. So it was kind of like a back, like, you know, it allowed you to be that authority.
Exactly.
When you walked into the room. So tell us a little bit about like how you came up with those seven. Is it seven? I don't know why seven keeps coming to my head.
Probably.
I feel like it was seven, but
something like that.
Whatever.
It don't even matter because they, you know, they system gonna be different.
Right. But a lot of people, they don't even have the confidence to create the system.
Sure.
And so that, I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. It's like, who am I? Because you haven't necessarily built up that authoritative figure yet. You said you were working at Target. So it's not like you were this, warden of a juvenile detention center.
Sure,
right?
Not at all. You I had like, no experience in that whatsoever.
Right. So you were like, okay, this is what I've experienced. This is what has happened in real life. Here are like the 7 points that keep coming up. So I'm going to write this book. So how did you come up with that or get over like the mental part of getting to step one?
Sure. So I think a lot of what you're talking about now from a book writing standpoint is some of the nitty gritty, again, that, you know, that we'll continue talking about. And that is, again, more begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And I think you alluded to it just a little while ago, just in terms of before you write a book, you have to know and answer the question, who is this book for? Mm-hmm. That is question number one. Who is this book for? Who is this book for? Because if you don't answer that question, then the answer becomes the book is for you.
Right.
And you are precisely the only person who will buy the book because you are addressing no one else's mm-hmm. needs, desires, problems. Or as mm-hmm. you put it so well earlier, those pain points. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's been said by wise folks like all along that really human performance and what we do as individuals is really motivated by two things. It's either the pursuit of pleasure or the avoidance of pain. Mm-hmm. So as we're able to position our own solutions or systems or whatever you want to call it, it's all about getting into the minds of those we want to serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the baseline for all healthy relationships is the baseline for great marketing is getting and seeing the world through that other person's eyes. That's how you're able to create something that they will actually be able to benefit from. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks, they just, you know, they put the carriage before the heart, just in turn, the horse mm-hmm. in terms of, I want to start going hard with some marketing, graphic design. But you don't do the research though. You don't mm-hmm. find out again what your folks really need. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of folks, they miss out on a big opportunity when they don't do that.
And I would even say too, and I know you said you may end up just writing a book for yourself. And I think it's okay if you are your target audience, but then you need to figure out where are the rest of you.
Sure.
So yeah, it may be for you, but where is everybody at? So let's say you have a problem with confidence at work mm-hmm. and you want to write a book for you so you can be more confident at work. How many people are that had that same problem as you? Where are they at?
Right.
Are they looking for this? Like, that should be the foundation of further research to figure out, like, where is the I don't have confidence at work of America people at, you know, and go find them. So for you guys that's listening, they may feel like, oh, my book is just, or my idea is just for me, I'm not going to do it. You can still do it, but just allow that to be kind of like the step one to you finding more people sure. like you.
Sure. And I think along with, you know, figuring out who your book is for, you also have to dig into, and it's two different things, although folks sometimes loop them together. They're actually very, very different. Number one, you got to focus on your personal why mm-hmm. For writing a book, you know, which is going to be more divinely, you know, and spiritual, more divinely guided or spiritual in nature. But why are you writing this? Like, is, you know, has something been placed on your heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you gone through like a really rough experience that you want to share with others? That's a why. And then your primary objective in writing the book is going to be different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be to sell a bunch of books. That might be to, again, create authority. That might be to help, you know, help young girls, et cetera. But it's very important that you start there. Because again, if you're not crystal clear on your personal why and also your objective, your primary objective for writing this book, then again, it's not going to help who you intend for it to help.
Got you. That makes perfect sense. I was trying to think of an analogy for that, but it wasn't coming.
Oh, why versus primary objective. Yeah,
because I think that's a really, really good point, but I could not think of.
You know, they call it a distinction without a difference.
Yeah, there we go. Because I couldn't think of one.
They're same. They're kind of same, but different, you know.
So let's talk about authority then. So how has your, I mean, well, you've written more than one book. So
yes.
You've written, what, maybe six?
Five. The thing is that I've written a lot and I have stuff that I haven't even released yet. So mm-hmm. I kind of lose track.
You run them together.
One thing that I will add in too is like when I wrote my first Millionaire Manners, when I wrote my first book, you know, I was able to shortly thereafter use that source material and create a curriculum. Which is like another program and another mm-hmm. revenue stream, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
That kind of goes hand in hand with that. So like probably like five, we can just say five.
Okay. So you've written these five books. So how has you writing these books kind of helped you build that authority in your field? Like
sure.
how has that helped?
So it's cool. And I have like some notes here. So bear with me. Let me see here. So, you know, there's usually five reasons or five benefits, you know, from building authority. You know, but the short answer to your original question is like, you know, how does this help? Or why did I do this in order to build authority? Like the short answer is kind of twofold. But one of them is that the root of authority, if you look at the word spelled out, the root of authority is author.
Wow.
Mind blown. Right?
Mind blown.
The root of authority is author. So literally you can say whatever your subject matter is, hey, I actually wrote the book on that
mm-hmm.
and it will be true.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second cool thing is that authority leads to relevance and relevance is what gets you paid,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there are a lot of authorities that aren't relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they don't get no money.
Was that a shot to Monique like that?
Oh, see, look, I wouldn't even. Nah, see, I'm not even going there.
That's what I felt. That's what I felt in my heart there.
We talked about Monique already before we came, before we started the recording. But yeah, authority is like a really, really big deal. And, you know, for everybody listening who might, you know, who might have a 9-to-5 or a traditional work setting and you're building your business on the side, like authority will help you in life, like period. It's you know, it's that old saying like, oh, this person's reputation precedes them. That's because they their authority, not their reputation, their authority is mm-hmm. what is preceding them. Mm-hmm. So I just have like five like kind of like benefits or like reasons why you want to build authority or how it could benefit you. And the first one is around when you build authority at your job, it can get you a raise. The folks who are experts, a.k.a. authorities on mm-hmm. different, you know, topics in the job. That's also how you become indispensable at your job and layoff proof. Folks don't lay off institutional knowledge folks. Mm-hmm. Folks don't lay off folks that are doing something that's so special and they do it in such a special way. AKA, again, they're such an authority at this particular thing at the job or in this organization that they become indispensable. So that's all authority at work. Mm-hmm. That's all authority at work. The second one is around. Again, for entrepreneurs, full-time or part-time entrepreneurs, authority can also help you attract new clients.
For sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. It can help you attract new clients because folks don't want to buy something or a product or a service or a system from, you know, from Joe Schmo. Like, tell me what you've done. Tell me what you've written on the subject. Mm-hmm. Let me know that you're an expert or an authority. And unless you do some of the things in order to build authority, then you're just going to kind of be seen as Joe Schmo. Mm-hmm. The third one is it can open up strategic partnerships because authorities, right? Just like real recognize real authorities recognize other authorities. Mm-hmm. So folks can get in with those authorities, and make like really cool stuff happen. The fourth one is, it can amplify your message and encourage people to take action for your cause, which is also like a really, really big deal because folks are always like, oh, people ain't responding to this or that. And it could be because of, you know, I mean, your authority or lack thereof on a particular subject. And then the mm-hmm. last one is that, authority can also assist you in finding your tribe of like-minded individuals.
Oh yeah.
And in that mm-hmm. tribe, as you so have, you know, wonderfully built with BG bosses, right? And all your other, cool stuff is that you've built a tribe of like-minded individuals that hopefully when you present something that is a value and a mm-hmm. service oriented thing, not like any sort of, you know, dudes that just rolling off the street. Right. I did just rolling off the street too, but those, that tribe can also become customers for you, mm-hmm. And really, really loyal customers.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding somebody willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move our business forward. If I wanted candidates who match what I'm looking for, I trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people that you want faster. And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored job posts directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates, join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Y'all know I have a lot on my plate, and if I needed to hire an assistant, Indeed is exactly where I will go. And I will go and be very specific. I need someone who is tech savvy, who knows how to assist someone who has multiple brands, somebody who was forward thinking, a problem solver, and who has done this for at least 5 years. And here's the thing with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes from people who don't understand the ins and outs of an online business with moving parts. That's what makes the difference. You get people who actually are what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job to the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed. right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, do it the right way with Indeed.
And I was going to say too, when you talk about building that tribe of like-minded people, I think people lose a sense of how much a book really does your marketing for you. So like if I'm on Amazon and I was looking for a book on something earlier and like all of these books just came up. So I had never met any of these authors. I don't follow them on social media. I don't know who they are. I just went to look for what I needed and I found it because it was there. So then when I purchased this person's book, now I become a part of their tribe. So now I'm starting to learn more about what they do. I'm looking at them as an authority because if their book is written right, when I read it, I'm going to get at least my problem solved a little bit, enough for me to go back to want more.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that's important as well, because like even with like the Amazons, the Googles, the YouTubes or whatever, these are all like search engine optimization based, like SEO based.
Right.
So the way that, and even with Instagram now, they changing a whole algorithm and some more stuff.
Thank Facebook
where,
for that. Holla.
Right. So now everything is based off of people's interests, what people have done.
You can follow hashtags now on IG.
Yep. So all of this stuff is just basically putting people in buckets.
So true.
So when you write your book, then the people who are in that bucket are likely to find you. So that's kind of how you work against what these algorithms are doing to kind of make the organic stuff.
Sure.
To basically to make you start paying for ads and stuff like that. That's kind of a way to work around that by like, okay, let me just put out what they're looking for then. You know what I mean? And so I think that's like really, really important for you guys that's listening, is really building that tribe. Because once you do that, you're good. So I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. So we kind of talked about building authority, how writing your book has helped you build your business. Let's talk about the money.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to make residual income. That's why a lot of times people join network marketing companies. That's why a lot of people like to put out products in general, just because of that residual income. So kind of talk about like how the books have increased the bottom line in your business.
Oh, I mean, tremendously. I mean, literally, just while we were sitting here, I think I shared with you just two out of the blue random, you know, random orders that I got for books in bulk, you know, which is another, sort of thing to think about, is that, you know, as you're creating your book and your physical book and some of the associated content, it's like, are you making it easy for folks to purchase either in bulk, et cetera? Because that's how ultimately, you know, regular folks, you know, like me, are able to sell thousands of books, because I'm selling them at 50 at a time, 100 at a time. I'm doing a speaking engagement in March. So, not only am I being paid to present and being paid to speak, but, you know, to top it all off, also for the members, they're going to buy like 200 books for the audience. So that's another couple $1,000s on top of my speaking fee, just because that product is available. And then it's not even, and here's the irony, when the book is there and you establish some authority and some credibility and reputation and all those things, the book is not directly tied to this thing.
Right.
It's not even directly tied to the topic I'll be speaking on, but because I'm there and it's loosely related, they're going to buy some books too.
Right.
So, I mean, I just got an order. I did an event 18 months ago, a conference. It was actually an educator's conference. And then I got a random email. Oh, hey, bro, we're ready to buy your books and your program for our after school program for young men. Hey, great. And that's all based on a book that I wrote 4.5 years ago now. So it's really, really cool. And again, you know, repurposing is the name of the game. I mean, even as you're writing a book, you can give away chapters or turn chapters into different types of products, because that's really where it's at, is digital content.
Yes.
Because I still have to ship books, which I don't mind, because they're in bulk, but, just creating all that content is where it's at, which is another way to establish authority.
Yeah. And I think it's good too for people who, let's say, are trying to break into the speaking industry. So they're taking a lot of free gigs to where they're not necessarily get paid. But when you have these books, you can then sell those to make your money, make a couple dollars, whether it pay for the cost of whatever it took you for you to do that. But it's a great opportunity as well when you do have to do some free things in the beginning to build up those relationships and stuff.
I give everybody a free piece of advice. This is one of the best questions that I learned to ask. And it was how did I discover this? Just building relationships, you know, with folks in different settings. But I was negotiating to do this work in this particular school, and they said, "Hey, Sadiq, well, you know, we don't have a budget you know, for training or speaking right now, we've exhausted those funds. But, you know, maybe if we buy enough books in this supply budget, then you could just come in and do the presentation too. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, there's different line items. There's different types of budgets. Uh-huh. There's not just one budget.
Right.
And then from there on, like, my world opened up. So from then on, literally, if somebody says, hey, we don't have a budget for this or that, hey, how's your supply budget? Right. How's your training budget? Uh-huh. You know, how's your XYZ budget? Mm-hmm. But you're only able to tap into that budget when you have a book or you have mm-hmm. some other supplies or whatever it is. So it's been a game changer. It's been a game changer.
And even for books too, if you offer different, let's say, services, so you're doing a one-on-one training, you could just roll in the price for your book. So you just sold a book technically, but you're still adding value to your training. You're getting a book off your hands. You're still getting paid for it because you didn't roll that cost into the price of whatever it is that you're doing. So I definitely think everybody should have a book, which is why I was so adamant about getting it done. However, a lot of people are also like me, to where I write a book on my vision board like 3 years ago.
Sure.
It did not get done until the end of 20. It was literally December 30th when I finished that manuscript.
Wow.
Because I just couldn't live with myself if I knew I put this on my vision board or my goals list for another year and I did not do it. It just drives me crazy because I just feel like, oh, you're a fraud. Like, you ain't even doing what you like. Oh, that's just my inner, little accountability.
Inner hater. That's your inner hater.
Yeah, my
that's
inner hater.
That's inner hater right there.
My inner hater, like,
such a little hate now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, you ain't a black girl boss. You ain't even finished your book. How you gonna tell these people? You
know, silence the inner hater. Ladies, silence the inner hater.
But mine helped me get this book out, so I think
Touché.
It did good this time.
Touché.
But because that was something that was on my to-do list or goals list for the year, I went to your So You Think You Want to Write a Book, right?
Yep.
So You Think You Want to Write a Book workshop in March. Still didn't get the book done till December 29th or December 30th, but I went in March. But what I liked about your workshop is that it broke it down so simply. Like, to me, I thought writing a book was just a lot.
Sure,
and I think the intimidation factor is why it was stagnant for so long, because it was just a lot. Like, how many pages am I going to write?
Right.
What am I even going to talk about? I don't have anything else to say. Is this enough? Just like all of this stuff. But the way you broke it down in the system that you use, that you actually have in your online course that we're going to be talking about, it just made it easy. And I like systems anyway.
Yes.
Okay, do this and then do that. And then in X amount of time, your book is going to be done. And I was like, he is lying. And it worked. You know what I mean?
That's great. That's awesome. Those are the kind of stories I love.
I was like, see, here he goes. It's one of those other people, write your book in 30 days and then it's day 60 and it ain't done. So me not getting it done was 100% me, not necessarily what you did. But when I went back to be like, okay, Tatum, you playing, you need to get this done. I still have the notes from that day on my computer. So I'm like, let me take these out and go back to what I learned. And then you had the handouts and stuff.
Sure.
So I just went back to what I learned and I was able to like really get it done.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I remember somebody, I think it was Halima.
Mm-hmm.
I met her there.
Yep.
And then she has like two books out now.
Books are done.
Like, oh, Sadiq is really out here making authors. So, I mean, what made you get into that? And how did you figure out like this amazing system that works?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Number one, like I said, I'm super excited for you. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Yeah.
But really, you know, it kind of goes back to what we just chatted about a little while ago, that I didn't set out to be like an author coach. I've always coached and had coaching clients and mentees.
Mm-hmm.
One of my buddies, she always like makes a distinction. Like, I coach adults, I mentor young people.
Hello.
I thought that was hilarious. So that's why I mentioned them separately. So I've always had, again, just folks that I was coaching on various things, et cetera. And again, young people that I mentor, of course. But I would always get these questions, especially every time I release a new book or something, right? Folks like, oh man, you're so busy, Sadiq. How do you do it? And I get texts, inboxes, emails. I'm like,
I'm tired of telling y'all for free.
Well, not even just that. It's impossible for me to tell you in a 5-minute phone call. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Like, what you want me to text back to you in this Facebook Messenger? Like, So I said to myself, okay, this is something that folks really, really need. Mm-hmm. So that's when I created the workshops. And of course, we started them off as doing live trainings, which I really enjoyed doing live trainings. But as my schedule continues to just increase in terms of...
Yeah.
Just busyness and just being inflexible. I said, you know what? I need to create an online course for it. Mm-hmm. So the last one we did in 2017, we actually just went ahead and recorded the full course.
Awesome.
Uploaded all the handouts, and now boom, everybody can get a chance to utilize that system. And you and there's a couple other folks that have utilized the system and taken the course, et cetera, who will be dropping their first books in 2018.
That's awesome.
As well. So super excited. One of my good close buddies who actually co-wrote my last book with my brother Khalil Abdul Kareem, shout out to him, the big homie. But he'll be releasing his first solo book this year as well. It's a really, really cool book that I'm super excited about. I actually wrote the introduction to his book as well. So
that's awesome.
And here's the thing about system. Let me just make this quick note, and that is, if you ask 100 different authors, what system that they use, they will each describe for you a different system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Each one of them. The same thing is true. If you go to the gym and you find 100 cut up guys, girls, they run in 10 miles a day. Hey, what's your secret? They're each going to give you a different secret. Mm-hmm. I tell folks all the time, you flip late night TV, you see all the exercise equipment. Like, the answer is that they all work. Mm-hmm. Which one is the best? All of them.
Right.
You got to pick one and stick with it. Pick and stick. But a lot of folks, they get frustrated, like you said, like with the whole accountability piece. Oh, this is not working for me. No. It's that you're not working it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you just need to find a better system suited for you.
Mm-hmm.
But all I can tell folks is that with no uncertainty is that the system that I'm teaching is the exact system that I've used to create a large number of content with more on the way. Mm-hmm. And folks like yourself are using to create their new stuff that I'm excited about.
What I really like about your system is it makes sense, but it's not strict enough to where I can't make it my own.
Right.
So it kind of covers, it gives me the structure because I just have no idea, you know, how to write a book. Like, I know how to write. I've written papers or
whatever.
Writing a book, what does that mean? What is the outline? Like, how long is this really going to take? Like, you know, how much time can I dedicate to this? You know, like all of those questions that people Google mostly, because I know I did. You cover that in the training, but the system is just so simple to where I was like, I cannot believe that it's just this, and I'll be able to get my book done. And then once I did it, I was like, Tatum, it is December 30th. Like, if you would have did this back in the spring, like, what is wrong with you? I was beating myself up. Like, I cannot believe
divine
I took
timing,
all that time.
Though. Divine timing. It all happens when it's supposed to, as it should.
Oh my goodness. I was so salty. But anyway, but I got it done.
Yeah.
So that was the good thing. And a lot of people want to get their books done too. I know one of the things you discuss is why people don't complete their book or why people don't write their book. So kind of go with, talk to the people a little bit about what that reason is.
Sure. I mean, there's like a long list of them. I'm trying to remember some of the most common ones, but the couple that come to mind, number one, folks just have no plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just mentioned, find your favorite diet and just do that one diet. But if you try to do three diets at one, you just end up not only not losing weight, you end up getting fatter.
Yeah.
Because now you're upset with yourself.
And you go to eat because you're mad.
You get depressed now. Exactly. Now you're eating because you're mad.
That's me. Forget this. I'm going to Chipotle.
I didn't know that. But yeah, like folks don't have a plan. It gets them frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, then they think that they are not up to snuff, or they think that they're not enough, or they're not adequate, when the exact opposite is true. We have so many different ideas inside of us. And again, we just got to start with one, which really is one of the second ones, is that especially this is an affliction of the creative, and that is we have too many ideas.
Yeah.
We have so many ideas. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is that, especially creative folks who may overestimate their own talents. I'm going to write all 10 of these books at once. It's going to be a massive trilogy thingy.
A book every month.
It's going to be a book every month. And then, of course, what do you think happens? They never get jack done. Mm-hmm. And then they end up with just volumes of just unorganized mess. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, all right, I'm going to take the simplest version of this idea and do that first. Mm-hmm. Let me establish some authority there. Then I can build upon that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I'd probably say, you know, back to sort of just the psyche of it all. I think a lot of folks, they just don't think that they have it in them. They really do beat themselves on. Like we referenced like the little hater earlier, but a lot of folks just be hating themselves out of doing what they should be doing and what they could be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we call that imposter syndrome. Like, yeah, who are you to write a book? I'm working this job or I'm doing X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Who do I think I am? And a lot of folks live in that instead of like, man. Or they think all about doing instead of becoming. Mm-hmm. And when we think about doing, we always get caught up in what either we have to do right now or what we're doing right now instead mm-hmm. of this process of becoming something greater and doing something else. And that's that process is on full display via writing a book.
Yeah, absolutely. And we even, I think it was last week on a podcast, I was kind of talking about how, like you said, we set these massive goals. So going back to the weight loss thing, you say you want to lose 10 pounds this month. Why not just lose 1 pound a week? You know what I mean? 4 pounds a month. Eventually you want to get to the thing. And that's something I had to check myself on because I don't think that there's anything that I can't do. Yeah. That's just my mindset. Yeah. So if I say I'm going to lose 20 pounds this month, in my mind, I can really make that happen. Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to try it. But then when it don't happen, then I'm going to be upset. As opposed to if I was to just take it 1 pound a week, 1 pound a week. That way I'm not like eating bananas 24/7. You know, I leave room for myself so I can, you know, constantly get better and improve my habits. So when it came to this writing, it was the same thing. It was like, fourth quarter's coming up. I ain't written this book yet. Yeah. I'm about to finish it right now. So the average book is 100,000 words. So I'm about to work backwards.
And it's way less than that too, by the way. 100,000 words. Is that how long your book is?
No, it's not at all.
I want to say, like, dang.
I came to the point where y'all going to get however many words this is.
Yeah, there you go. Do you remember the final word count?
I think it was, no, I don't.
All right.
Don't give me
Well, time. I mean, just for comparison's sake, I think Millionaire Manners was 60,000 words. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being like, in a 6x9 book, like, 180 pages or something mm-hmm. like that, which really doesn't matter. Again, don't let that discourage you. Just get it mm-hmm. done. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Find a system that works for you.
Yeah.
You just reminded me too of like this Abraham Lincoln quote when you're like, yeah, just a pound a day, like, or a pound a week rather. Abraham Lincoln said that, I walk slowly, but I never walk backwards.
Right. Amen.
I never mm-hmm. go back.
1 foot in front of the other.
That's it.
And even as I was working your system, I made it work for me. So I was like, okay, how long does it take me to get out, let's say, 1,000 words? Mm-hmm. So if I know this really don't take that long, it take me maybe, let's say, at max an hour, 1,000 words. So, okay, write 1,000 words a day. You know, that's it. That's 1 hour. So it just made it a lot less stressful get it done. Because when it's stressful is when you psych yourself out. When it's just so much, it's like, I'm just not doing this at all.
You want to enjoy it. You want to mm-hmm. enjoy the process. You know, we always talk about it. It's like a cliche, right? But you got to mm-hmm. enjoy the process, too. So that way you are proud of yourself at the end. But like you just said, that when we set ourselves up with these unrealistic expectations, oh, I'm going to write the whole thing this weekend, which, again, it's possible.
Yeah.
That's very possible if you have a plan. Mm-hmm. Like, I know folks that have done that, literally write their whole book in a week. I've wow. seen folks physically actually do that. I wrote my first book, like, literally probably in about 30 days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the average person, that's setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. That's setting yourself up for a fall versus just saying, all right, I'm just going to, like you said, write an hour a day or there's so many other things I can go into, but mm-hmm. I'll stop there.
So what are some other things that you cover in this course?
So in the course, you know, we talk about really we describe the entire process from start to finish, the beginning, the middle, the end of the process, which is really broken down into three phases. We really break down the pros and cons of self-publishing because mm-hmm. this, make no mistake about it, this course is for those who are ready to get it done and to do it themselves, which is what self-publishing is all about. So we cover the pros and cons of self-publishing. We talk about some of the common misconceptions about writing a book, some of the myths associated with writing a book. We talk about ideas for marketing a book. We have so many materials in the course, and it's even been upgraded anymore since when you last took it. But you know, there's a book idea generated that I've included.
Oh, that's dope.
So that way folks are like, oh, I don't have any ideas. We actually created a system where literally there's like 100+ book titles where you just fill in a blank and it'll just help you come up with ideas.
That's good.
For you to create your book title, which is one of the most important aspects of writing a book, by the way. Some folks start with the title. Some folks end with the title. But, you know, whichever you choose, is make sure that there's some great care and thought put into your title, because that really will sell your book. We also include a spreadsheet to help you kind of keep organized as you're writing. And there's worksheets. I mean, there's a ton there's a ton included with the course. I think it's a really, really good value.
I have an interesting story about self-publishing. So like I went on, we all know Simon and Schuster, the big publishing house. So I was on their site one day because I don't even really know why, but I was on their site one day. So they have like a partner who works with smaller authors who are not celebrities who want to, let's say, write a book. So that it's, they're kind of like, I guess they're like a publisher for unknown people. So I signed up. And so it's really like vague. They don't tell you much information. It's one of those sign up and we'll call you type things. So I was like, I'm about to sign up and just see what they say. So I signed up and the guy called me and we were talking and he told me, I was like, well, I kind of just want to go the self-publish route. So he was like, oh, well, self-published people really don't make any money like that. So you're just going to write a book for it to sit on the shelves. I'm like, do he know who he's talking to? Like, that's something that's all I need for me to go and sell this and we'll call you back and be like, hey, John, you remember when you said X, Y, Z? But everything that we talked about prior to this moment on this show is about how much writing a book really does help. Like, it's not about, like a lot of people think about the New York Times bestseller list. And it's like, I'm never going to be able to do that because I'm not a celebrity. But I personally think the Amazon bestsellers list is way more
valuable. Fine with me.
Exactly.
Quite fine with me.
But speaking of bestsellers, though, I know some of your books have been bestsellers as well. So after you did the self-publishing, how were you able to market it to the point where you accomplished that?
Sure. Initially, that's like kind of a technical question. But I would just kind of point it back to the general piece around, again, building that tribe and building your momentum sort of before you launch. And there's lots of like cool kind of like tips and strategies that we talk about during the course. You know, one of them is the creation of a launch team. The creation of a launch team, having, you know, 5 to 10 of your closest friends, almost like how you have Black Girl Boss ambassadors for the podcast, a team of folks that are ride or die with you that can help you get the word out simply. You know, there's the strategy or the technique of, you know, first releasing your book for free on Amazon for a set amount of time. You can do 7 days, then you up it to 99 cents. The downloads are what count also towards purchases.
Okay, the algorithms.
Absolutely. Okay. So if you get 1,000 downloads in a week and then another, even 100, a couple hundred downloads at 99 cents, by leveraging a launch team and hopefully you've built up a little bit of a tribe through your social media, email lists, all of it counts. You can easily get on the Amazon bestseller list easily.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, guys. So, hey,
there we go.
Gems. And those are some of the things that you cover.
Absolutely.
In the course.
Absolutely.
So for everybody that's listening, this course is available at, I shortened the link. It's bit.ly /book goals. So for nice. Y'all that have a goal to buy the book, go to bit.ly/book goals. I'm also going to put it in the description of the show so you can just make it so much easier. And I'm going to send an email, post it on social media, all that stuff. But just make sure you guys go and take this course. I'm a product of it. I've seen other people who were in the room with me get their books out there. I mean, I'm in your Facebook group too.
Yes.
And to just see like all the people who are getting their books done just because you gave them the blueprint, who are taking it and making more money in their business, creating that authority and all of those other things. It works.
That's
so
awesome.
You guys definitely
go check
that out.
You have a special for your listeners too, right?
Oh yeah. Dang, I forgot. Sorry, y'all.
I was gonna say, yeah.
It's 10% off.
And Tatum was, she was like, we gotta do something special.
I know.
For my
listeners.
Like,
it gotta be a discount, bro. Sorry.
And I respect it, which is why you have an awesome tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like she really is thinking of you all. Like everybody is listening. That's not just something she's saying. Like mm-hmm. she's really riding to get you guys great value, great content, and just stuff that actually makes some sense. So shout out to you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, because we don't have guests often on this show.
Yeah, I'm honored. I really am honored.
I can count on both of my hands how many guests we've had on
this
show.
How many guys?
You're the third.
I'm the third guy.
And I only talk to guys I know. I'm at the point where I don't even want to interview anybody I don't know, you know, because it's just easier to sit down and have a regular conversation
sure, no
as
doubt.
Opposed to people putting their PR face on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I got one face. One face.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So yes, you guys go and check out that course. It's called So You Think. Wait.
So you want to write.
So you want to see. I think about that show. So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, exactly.
So that's
same
why
thing. I mean, whatever you want to call it, just write the book.
Right. Exactly.
Write the book.
So tell people where they can follow you and all that good stuff before we
awesome,
close.
Awesome. Awesome. So once again, it's been my pleasure speaking with you guys. Tatum, much love to you. This is Sadiq Ali. Feel free to hit me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at the Sadiq Ali Show, or my business page is at Millionaire Manners. You could pretty much search and find me that way.
Cool. All right, you guys, and I will talk to you next week.
Support for this podcast comes from the BGE Smart Energy Savers Program. Hidden air leaks can affect your home's comfort and energy costs. A home energy audit identifies problem areas and reveals opportunities to improve comfort and savings. Plus, you can get an average of $3,000 in rebates to make energy-saving home improvements. Learn more about how to make your home work better for you at bgesmartenergy.com.